Good morning and welcome to our special service this morning, our annual carol service, where we will have praise, worship and a ministry of God's word. Now this will be done in a slightly different manner to the way we normally conduct our services. There'll be a number of readers, and after each reading that has been done, if the person that is doing the reading can announce the next hymn, that would be really good. Our preacher for the morning is our own pastor, James Stewart, and as always, we would ask that the Lord himself may bless his own word to us all.
First reading is Luke chapter 1 verses 26 to 38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favoured one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at this saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Our next hymn will be, "O Come, O Come, Emmanuel."
Thank you. reading to is Matthew 1, verses 18 to 25. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being just a man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to your wife, Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth from her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. And the next hymn is Silent Night.
Next reading is from Luke chapter 2, and we're reading from verse 1 to verse 7. In those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And our next hymn, or carol, Once in Royal David's City.
Our next reading is taken from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 20. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field,
keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace amongst those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. Our next hymn that we're going to sing is "O Little Town of Bethlehem."
next reading is from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 to 7. But there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of the oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult, and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. The children from Kids Club are going to come and sing to us now.
Thank you. Well, thanks very much. It's a wonderful thing to come together and to sing these great carols and to reflect on the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me add my very warm welcome to all of you today. It's great to see so many of you, and particularly to those that are visiting with us today. And we're going to spend just a little bit of time reflecting on that last reading that Lucy gave to us from Isaiah chapter 9. Now, here at Daisy Lane Baptist Church, we believe that the Bible is God's Word, and everything that we've read this morning, that God is speaking to us out of His Word, and that that's very important, and He has very important things to say for our lives, and not just for our lives now, but for the future. And it's good to look at these and to see what He has to say to us. Well, let's see what we've got here. Well, here's a picture. I wasn't around to take this picture, okay, of Isaiah the prophet, but he may have looked something like this. And he did start as a prophet of God as a young man, and right through much of his life, he was a prophet of God. And we find these words written in that writing in chapter 9, and it talks to us. To us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and uphold it with justice and with righteousness, from this time forth and forevermore, the seal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Now, Isaiah has something very important to tell us there. And I have a question for the children. Who do you think Isaiah is talking about in that verses? Who do you think the prophet Isaiah is talking about? Anybody? Any of the adults? I think Jacob's wrestling on that. I think he knows it. Go on, Rose. Well done. He's talking about Jesus. Absolutely. He's talking about Jesus. But you know the amazing thing about this? He's talking about Jesus. But he lived over 700 years before Jesus was born. And he's talking about Jesus. Isn't that fantastic? That's better than any computer. Eh? You can put all your information into a computer, but this is information from God to this prophet Isaiah. So what's Isaiah doing? Well, what he's doing is he's telling us the news. He's telling us the news. And Isaiah was announcing good news. That's what he was announcing in advance. Good news. And, let's go back there. 2,000 years later, an angel appeared to some shepherds. We had this reading. And he said to them, "Fear not. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." And this is the one that Isaiah was speaking about. And in the town of David, that was Bethlehem. And another prophet spoke about that too, that a great ruler would come out of David's town, Bethlehem. Now, Isaiah is telling us things that God has taught him, really. Because in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 1, we know that it's God that's speaking to him. And we're told that he's given a vision from God. So he's passing on the truths that God has given to him for us. And the message of the book of Isaiah is that God is a holy God. He's powerful. He's the true and great ruler. And he hates wrongdoing and sin, and he must punish that. None of us like wrongdoing or sin. We don't like when people do things against us and say things against us that cause us pain and hurt us and that aren't true about us or whatever it may be. But God is also a loving God, and he had this great plan to rescue people and to rescue them from their wrongdoing, from their sin. And he wants this plan to bring peace to us. And Isaiah speaks about the good news What else does he tell us? Well, he says there will be no more gloom. What is it to be gloomy? Anybody know what it is to be gloomy? Probably we all woke up feeling gloomy this morning. I don't know. Be no more gloom. But the people that were living in the time of Isaiah were facing all kinds of things. And the Jewish people, they were about to be attacked by a people called the Assyrians. And they were a fierce people, very warlike people. And they were like the superpower of the ancient world. And they were about to attack some of God's people. And they were going to be gloomy and in great distress because of that, to be very, very unhappy. And they were going to be under a lot of suffering and a lot of pain. Now, the problem was that God's people had turned away from God. And when we turn away from God, it brings distress and hurt and pain to our lives when we turn away from God. And God was giving them this message and promising them that there was better times coming for them. You know, when we feel we can turn away from God and that everything will be all right, that we can manage without him, I wonder, do we think like that? But when we do think like that, it brings hurt and pain and sadness into our lives. But God loved his people, Israel. God loves us. And his promise here that would be no more gloom is part of his love, part of his care, and his great love for us and for his people there in the Old Testament. The people had forgotten God, but God had not forgotten the people. And God hasn't forgotten you today. Your life may feel gloomy. It may feel full of pain. And you may be distressed. But God has not forgotten you. Are we distressed today? Are we in pain? Is there things happening in our lives? Why? Well, maybe we've left God behind. Maybe we've turned away from him. And we felt we could manage very well without him. Thank you, God. But I can manage very well without you. Well, we can't. And God brings a promise here that things, he's going to bring a time of change. He's going to bring a time of change. And when he talks about being no more gloom and darkness and so on, he wants the people to trust in his promise. And that promise was also very much about the future. Because here we see, 700 years later, Jesus came to this area that Isaiah the prophet was speaking about. And what are we told about Jesus? Well, we're told there, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And for those dwelling in the region and the shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You see, Jesus is the light, and Jesus says that himself in John chapter 8 and verse 12. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me shall never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Now, when I was a teenager, not that long ago, I used to listen to these guys here. Anybody know who that is? Go on. Yeah, Simon and Garfunkel. That was them when I used to listen to them in the background. That's what they look like today. Time doesn't stand for still for any of us, does it? But one of their songs that I really, really used to love listening to was Like a Bridge Over Troubled Waters. Yeah, the words, oh, when darkness comes and pain is all around and friends just can't be found, I will lay me down like a bridge over troubled waters. You know, what are they talking about there? Well, really, in many ways, they were talking about the use of drugs in that song. When darkness comes and pain is all around and friends just can't be found. Many people take things like heroin or cannabis or all different kinds. We may find or try to find different ways to deal with our pain, our hurt, our distress. And sometimes we go shopping, buy now, pay later. Are you buying now, paying later? You know, I last year bought myself a rowing machine. That really is buy now, pay later, I tell you. And I have every day I get up and I see this rowing machine. It's a bit like Marley's ghost, Scrooge. It's like this machine says to me, James, you bought me, use me. You know, and it's buy now, pay later, very much. So we can do that, isn't it? We spend our time and we think, well, if I buy that, that will make all the difference. It'll make me happy. It'll make a big difference in my life. But it doesn't. And then, of course, sometimes people use things like alcohol. They think, well, that's a bit like Simon and Garfunkel's song, isn't it? I will lay me down like a bridge over troubled waters. Or they'll use drugs and so on. Or they'll get involved in all kinds of relationships and just trying to escape the pain and the lack of peace and the lack of fulfillment in their lives. And maybe for a time these things numb the pain, but it comes back worse. You know, Jesus gives light into the darkness of the nights. Jesus gives meaning into the life of the ruined man and woman. And Jesus gives purpose to our lives. You know, when we leave Jesus out of our lives, it brings us pain and hurt and sorrow. And it brings us into conflict and into war with God. When we're leaving God out of our lives, we're at war with him and we're at war with other people as well. What else does the prophet tell us here about this great time when Jesus was going to come into the world? He says, there will be no more war. No more war. That's what he says, really, in these verses. He's saying there will be no more war. Now, we are conscious of war, aren't we? If you've been watching the news, you'll know some of the terrible things that are happening in Syria. This war that's been going for a number of years. And if you've been watching the news over the last few weeks, you would have seen some of the tweets and things that children and adults have been sending out to the outside world, pleading for help. And one little girl was talking about her fear and her heart and the fear as troops were coming in to the city. And here I have another picture of just seeing how it shows us of the pain and the hurt that people are facing there. And here I have a picture of one of my own relatives who was in the Second World War, and he's buried here in a cemetery called La Deliverande, about 2 miles from the landing beaches. There are 944 Commonwealth soldiers buried in this cemetery, and most of them died on Sword Beach, and others were brought in from the battlefields along the coast and Cannes. And there are also 180 German soldiers buried in this cemetery. What a waste of human life. You know, these were men who were sons and brothers and husbands and fathers. God speaks here. Isaiah speaks of a time when there would be no more war. Of course, it's largely in the future, and we'll see something of that in a minute. And it's connected with the birth and the lordship of Jesus Christ, God's Son. Now, in this passage, there are a lot of names given to Jesus in verse 6. But I just want to look at one, the Prince of Peace. And we all need peace with God. And we all need to be in a relationship with God. And only Jesus can bring that peace to our lives. I wonder what your Christmas was like last year. And I wonder what your Christmas will be like this year. So many people, their families are at war. We don't need to watch the bullets flying and the missiles coming, but families are at war. Parents and children are at war. Husbands and in-laws and wives and in-laws. Do we really have to have your parents again for dinner? You know that your mother doesn't like me, and so on. But that's true a lot of the time, isn't it? That we're at war, and there are children this Christmas going to be spending Christmas, maybe for the first time in a broken home, or maybe for the 10th time in a broken home. And the family home has become a battlefield of arguments and of violence and of abuse of all kinds. And people are at war with their neighbours. Oh, you don't want to be at war with your neighbours. You've got to live next door to them. Don't be at war with your neighbours. We need Jesus and we need his peace. You know, I found that peace myself back in 1991, in February, at the end of 1991, in a small church in Scotland. And I just sat there and I said, Lord, have mercy on me. I knew I was at war with God. And as I was sitting there, the peace of God just entered into my soul. And I knew that morning that I had met with Jesus Christ and that he was real. And he had brought peace into my distress and into my troubled soul. You see here, how does he bring that peace? Well, Isaiah the prophet, writing 700 years beforehand in this chapter 53, tells us how he brings the peace. You see, he's really talking about Jesus' crucifixion here, 700 years earlier, before it happened, that Jesus would be the one that would bring peace. Just look there at the second half here. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like the sheep before the shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off from the land of the living, stricken for the transgressions of my people, and so on. Transgressions, it means sins, stricken for the sins of my people, and so on. Well, finally, there's some another promise from this great prophet, and he says, it's the promise, the government of peace. The government of peace. One day Jesus is coming back to this world, and he's going to set up this great government of peace, and it will be one of justice and of peace, of goodness and of kindness and of mercy. But to do that, he has to remove all other governments, all those that are warmongers, and all those that are stood against him. He will remove these governments. And here we have it here. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Isn't that incredible? We're living in a world where we see so little peace, but of the increase of his peace, there will be no end. What a wonderful thing that is, and what a wonderful promise. And those of us who have experienced this peace already in our hearts, we are completely aware that this peace will finally come one day, completely in the future. It's a living promise that's alive in our hearts today. It's not some pie in the sky when you die, but it's right here, right now, this great promise about the future. And he will establish his government. So, my encouragement to us this morning is, if you're at war with God, if you're at war in your own family home, if you're at war with your neighbours, if you're in darkness and in distress, and if you're like at night looking for that bridge over troubled waters, you know, God can change. Jesus Christ can bring light into your darkness, joy into your distress, and he can change you. He can change each of us. Nothing is impossible for Jesus Christ, because he is the wonderful counselor. He is God's eternal Son. He is the Prince of Peace. He is Almighty God. He is the one that brings change. What will your Christmas look like this year? And what will 2017 look like for you as we move into it? Well, I think that depends very much in whether you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior. Let's close with a word of prayer. Our gracious, eternal and heavenly Father, we want to thank you and indeed to worship you and to praise you for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, the one that makes peace between God and men. We pray now, Lord, that we may know that peace to reign and to govern our hearts, and that we may live with that light and to be drawn into it, Lord, and to pass it on. In Jesus' name, amen.